And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this hump day Wednesday, January 22nd. It's a cold one out there. We started out the morning in the 20s, and now we're in the single digits. We're going the wrong way. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And, well, it's back into the frozen tundra, it appears, Bridget, at least for about a day before things start to warm back up.
Define warm up, because I'm in Sioux Falls and it's 35 degrees.
That's balmy. That's balmy.
Yes, it is.
You know, there was an interesting stat put out by the National Weather Service, and they showed the snowfall map across the country. And for the first time, they said that they can ever recall there was more snowpack in southern Louisiana and into the panhandle of Florida than there was over the entire state of South Dakota for the third week in January. They said they don't.
I believe I saw National Weather Service this morning said that Louisiana just got 7.5 inches of snow, and they have the most snow they've had all winter, and Aberdeen is 6.7 inches. So currently Louisiana beats Aberdeen, South Dakota for the amount of snowfall.
That's just hard to comprehend.
Now, I spent some time on the phone this morning with a friend down in Arkansas, and Scott told me that right now the really frightening thing is, you know, he's in the northern end of Arkansas, so there's snow 600 miles south of him, and he's a rice grower. We've had him on the show before, and he mentioned that as you get further south, of course, he's been involved with more rice production down there, but those homes are elevated for flooding, which means they have exposed water pipes underneath them.
Oh, yeah.
And so this situation where they're below freezing right now, he said this will, from Louisiana all the way over to Florida, you're going to see dollar figures similar to what we saw as in a hurricane for destruction and devastation. And I've not yet seen a report from the U.S. citrus crop, because that was already in jeopardy due to citrus greening, which again is a pest that's carried and is causing problems with their yield. In fact, they're down 25% year on year for production. But this is not going to help whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we're going to need to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, not good news. But and for our area, again, we're kind of, I wouldn't call this a storm by any means, but if you're traveling today, leave a little extra time to get to your destination in the FM area. We've got quite a bit of wind out there, and that's causing blowing snow. Most of the falling snow is about done with. There's still a few light snow showers on radar, but most of that diminishing now. And we'll continue to see temperatures fall into the lower single digits and then eventually below zero after sunset. Bottoming out tonight about 12 below, and winds that are strong right now out of the north will calm down after about 8, 9 o'clock tonight, about 5 to 10. So about 12 below tonight and 8 above tomorrow, between 5 and 10 above. We'll call it about 7, 8 above. And winds will turn to the west-southwest on the light side tomorrow afternoon. Then we'll start to warm up a little bit on Friday, and we'll also see a little clipper system come in here Friday afternoon, lasting through Saturday morning with a few snow showers. Highs in the 20s on Friday, back down into the teens on Saturday with windy conditions. About a half inch to an inch of additional snow possible with that little system Friday into Friday night. And then Sunday we warm up into the 20s, and by next week we're in the low 30s by Tuesday. That will feel nice. So just hang tight. We will start to warm up as we head into next week with no big storms on the horizon. It looks like we're going to have to wait until that first week, according to the LRC, the first week of February is when we stand a chance to see a more potent system come our way. So we'll be keeping an eye on that.
And it sounds like that will be early on in that week from what I've seen on the LRC map, looking to like a Sunday, Monday type of situation.
Yeah, it looks like around the 3rd, right around the 3rd, give or take a day either side of that. But yeah, it looks like it would be earlier in the week because you've got agronomy on ice coming up later that week.
On the 5th, and right. I'd like to make sure to once be able to go to this event without having to skid and slide all over on ice coming or going. That
right.
would be really awesome for a right. change. So, and don't forget, this weather update is sponsored by Ryan Bonesack. He's with Equitable AgriFinance, helping farmers restructure their balance and working capital. He's here to help you as a local farmer and or a rancher. And if you're interested in talking to Ryan, you can reach him at 701-261-6529. That is Ryan Bonesack with Equitable AgriFinance. He's been in the ag finance game in this region for at least 20 years. He's got quite a bit of experience behind him. So good fellow to call. So those are just some of the things. Right now, like you said, it's nice and clear down here. Roads are wide open. Looking at a road report for the state of North Dakota, snow covered on I-29. So is that going to be a problem later?
Well, looking out the window here, and it's mainly wet. There's some slushy spots, but I think once you get outside of the city limits, that's where you're getting more of a problem with the snow and slush on the roads, is because of the blowing snow. So we're going to be dealing with that through about 8, 9 o'clock tonight before the winds calm down. So between now and just after sunset, that those will be the windiest times where we'll see that kind of greasy roadways. So, yeah, just leave extra time. It's not we're not looking at any severely reduced visibility. We've seen some reports at times when the snow is falling. We've had it down between a quarter and a half a mile. But, again, mainly those open areas, watch out for that blowing and drifting snow.
Well, I'm going to be heading north later today. And for those who are listening, if you are on I-29 South Fargo, I'd be curious what you're seeing for road reports. And you could reach us at 701-293-9000. You can also send emails, weather@flagfamily.com. And if you're listening, that's one thing, but you can also be watching us on YouTube, Facebook, and Acres TV. And remember, Acres TV is a free app. You can find it in the Apple Store or wherever you get your other applications for your phone, iPads, and so much more. And then you can watch us live. And there's other great content on Acres TV as well. So lots going on in the ag world today. One of the things that I learned recently, did not know that this was actually a concern, is that in Europe, when chicks hatch, the male chicks, the little rooster chicks, because they don't need them for egg laying production, those chicks just get destroyed. Well, because that sounds barbaric to the Europeans, they wanted a different way to find out that information sooner. So there is now a company that has created a machine. It's called the Cheggy. And the Cheggy will actually sex eggs prior to the hatch. They do it by using different light spectrums through the shell. And they can actually look at feather color on the light spectrum and determine if it is going to be a male chick or a female chick. And they've been doing this. They're able to sort 25,000 brown layer hatching eggs per hour per unit. So it's revolutionary to the U.S. and is now coming here because egg producers are now starting to pay attention to this machine and this technology. So they are able to start looking at the eggs sooner and determining the sex of the egg before it even hatches.
So would they get rid of the male chicks then? Because the females are the ones that lay eggs. So,
yep.
Oh boy, you're gonna hear a lot of people crying out about that, I bet.
You know what? It's a little bit like the reverse one-child policy in China that they had decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're just doing it in chickens, I guess. We're just looking for the females instead.
Ah.
But yes, this would be a change where they would get rid of those male chicks early so that they can continue to have more laying hens. And I hear many people say, boy, the price of eggs these days. Well, we don't realize that's gone down due to bird flu. Also, just simply demand has really been pressured on eggs and chicken products. So I don't think we're going to see that price changing anytime soon. And we need the females for the eggs.
Now, once the prices are up and they stay up for a while, don't you think that most people become conditioned to it? Do you think we'll ever see the price of eggs go down to what, let's say $2.99 a dozen?
There'll be fluctuations, but remember, we're also still in what's considered the holiday baking season because you have heavy amounts of baking that take place from Thanksgiving to Easter, and we're not past Easter yet.
Okay.
So you will continue to see egg prices stay up. Will that drop to a new this current ceiling to a new floor level price? Probably, but I certainly don't think I'm going to be buying any 89-cent eggs anytime soon.
Those were the days, weren't they?
Man. Absolutely. And that has all changed over quite a bit now,
yep.
I'm afraid. So we're not going to see that happening here in time anyway. So it's going to be a busy day. We have a guest joining us today, and that is Carrie Portell. She is a farmer. Carrie has some handicaps, physical limitations due to accidents that happened in her life, or a major accident, I should say. And Carrie advocates on behalf of others who have difficulty accomplishing their tasks in everyday life, particularly in farming. And I have to ask her again, but I want to say I listened to a podcast she was on, and she's restricted to somewhere in the neighborhood of about 3,000 steps a day. So I want you to factor that in. When you are farming, taking care of livestock, and you can only manage 3,000 steps a day before your body is done, how does that affect you, how you're able to get your job done, and what things can be done differently? Well, we're going to talk about that with Carrie and then some of the work she does, again, advocating for herself and many, many others who need that. And we'll have a chance to talk to Carrie after we return from the markets, where we're going to catch up with the Northern Ag Network. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for being here today. Glad to see there's a little bit of a warm up, as Dean mentioned, and we'll see where the weather takes us through the weekend. Currently, though, I'm in Sioux Falls enjoying the Sioux Falls Farm Show. Been a busy day here. Lots of folks to stop and visit with, plenty of exhibitors. And again, it is Farm Trade Show season. You're going to see me at a lot of events here over the next few weeks, really, until we get into March. So great to know that. I think our guest is connected, Dean, or do we have Carrie on the line?
Not yet. No,
not quite yet.
Addison's tying up some loose ends, trying to get her on with us. So why don't we hit some ag topics until we can get Carrie on with us?
Well, we certainly can. And one of those things that's also happening is, you know, for many of us, sorry, just got to grab my notes over there. For many of us who work in the fertilizer industry over the years, we know that there is a process for bringing ammonia, which is a primary fertilizer, which is part of our nitrogen sourcing, and we get that through a centuries-old process. Well, there's work being done. It's about 2 years from fruition of being able to do something differently, and what they want to do is to be able to pass air through a screen that would actually be able to draw the nitrogen out of the air to make what was considered ammonia. Now, I don't know if this is going to be the liquid, dry, or gaseous formulation of it. I suspect maybe the gas formulation, but I'm not sure because they didn't give me those details. But nonetheless, being able to extract ammonia from the air. The whole point of this is to be doing more with green energy, meaning that it's now an opportunity for us to be able to use the resources around us, use less energy because we draw from a lot of natural gas when we make ammonia, and then also to reduce the CO2 emissions that might actually be of concern. So there's a lot going on in that regard. Again, it's still probably about 2 years away before we know that this is going to work, but we're really hoping for the best because right now we are always looking for new ideas, new processes and technologies, and especially the green revolution that's been going on around us to find a different way to do this. Fun fact for those who know the name of that process that's centuries old that we still use today when it comes to making ammonia, the Haber-Bosch system, which was developed in Germany prior to World War II.
Interesting. Yeah. And I heard through the grapevine that there's some kind of zero emission tractor that from Kubota that they're trying to roll out. Is that right?
Kubota does. They do have. It's a smaller size tractor. This was also one of those items that was recently viewed at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And that Kubota tractor has it's an autonomous tractor. It has more of a flat platform than you think about having a cab because it's able to move payload. It can move about 285 pounds on itself. It could have the option of an electronic motor, or you can still go with a regular gas combustion motor. I think I froze up there for a sec. And by able to move that payload around, you know, it also has a self-leveling source so that the tractor doesn't move. So it keeps whatever you're hauling level so that you don't have to worry about on hillsides and slopes that it could fall off, anything like that. Here's the other reason that that's kind of a cool setup. It's really because when you think about it, this could not only be ag, but construction. So if you're in a construction site, that would be very helpful as well.
Huh.
You know, if you think about it, there's a lot of places if you're working inside large buildings and you want to be able to move heavy product equipment. I think about like lumber, you know, rebar, et cetera. And you could put it on this little machine, this little tractor, and be able to move it around. And it can level if you're working over rough concrete areas. That would probably be a really good point. So it's kind of a neat idea. We'll see how much longer it takes for Kubota to bring something like that forward. Again, it have the option of either an EV or a gas. So kind of neat little things that are going on.
All right. And we finally got Carrie online. So you want to introduce Carrie to everybody there, Bridget?
Well, I think Carrie's going to be great at helping to introduce herself. Carrie Portell, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. So, Carrie, tell us a little bit about where you're at today and where you live, et cetera.
Yeah, so I am located in East Central Missouri. I'm about an hour and a half west of St. Louis. That's our biggest metropolitan city. And I live on a 330-acre commercial cow-calf farm where I operate as a partially disabled herdswoman.
Yes.
Did we lose?
Okay. Nope, I think Carrie's there. I was listening to Addison, our producer, so I didn't get a chance to be able to answer. So Carrie, you know, not everyone is familiar with your background as far as, and I apologize if I missed it while Addison was giving me some instructions, but you've got livestock, you've got a family, but yet you are trying to struggle through some physical limitations. Do you want to start your story as to what happened and how?
Yes, absolutely. So back at the very end of 2010, it was December 29th, I had just turned 35 years old and was, I mean, just running 100 miles an hour in my life. So we have four kids who are very close in age, and things were just busy. You know how that is. So December 29th, I decided we were going to go to town after I got home from work. I taught an exercise class on Wednesday evenings. And about 8 minutes down the road, our life changed forever. And that was because we were involved in a four-car impaired driving car crash. Wow. It was absolutely devastating. The biggest thing that my community has ever seen, especially because every single vehicle contained local citizens, which hardly ever happens.
Wow.
On I-44. Yeah, it was something else, but it's primarily the impaired driver and myself. So he actually passed away on impact. And then I had two of my children with me, and they were able to heal in about 6 weeks. But I spent the next 4 years just having one reconstructive surgery after another to get to a point where I was walking about 1,800 steps a day.
Whew. When you think about it, that's a very minimalistic amount of movement to be able to do the things that you do with an active family. And again, you're really primary on the farm. It's not like this is a part-time job for you.
Correct. Correct. Yes. It's, it started out really as, just like motivation for myself. And I didn't even get to do this until about 2 years in, to my recovery. And it was very minimal, but I had to have something to keep me going, like some kind of purpose that was my own. And it just started very, very minimal, feeding livestock at the barn, and then started eventually turning into, hey, you know what? You know, you don't need to come in for 3 days a week physical therapy anymore. Let's try to work through your livestock chores, you know, your farm chores, to see if we can replace that. And I still use that to this day. So Monday through Friday, I do all of the farm feeding, and that substitutes as my physical therapy. And then evenings, a lot of times evenings and weekends, my husband will do it all, you know, because I do only have so much stamina, energy, and, you know, I just fight pain every day. So those 1,800 steps are used pretty quickly whenever you're feeding livestock.
You know, Carrie, I've talked with physical therapists and occupational therapists who say that it's difficult to sometimes have those folks relate to farm activities. And so was it a conscious decision for you to say, I can do my therapy at home doing my chores more so than coming in and doing things that might be not as related to my daily activities, if that question makes sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it was a suggestion from my physical therapist because, you know, when you have 4 years of physical therapy, you get pretty close to your therapist. And I was so fragile that I didn't want anybody except one person touching my legs because they were just, they were so much in pain that I didn't want someone new coming in. And eventually he's just like, you know, Carrie, I think you're at the point that, you know, you have a farm. I think we can try to figure out a routine that you can do every single day in the same order so that one, you use the least amount of steps, but also you use the least amount of energy. So it took a little bit to figure out what that routine is, but I still to this day do everything in the exact same order because I know that it works.
I wouldn't give up that order either. And besides, the livestock get used to that order too. They like a consistency in their lives just like you do.
They absolutely do. They know their routine, and they, as soon as they hear me coming down with the Ranger, they start going to their spot.
Well, Carrie, we're gonna check in with our bottom of the hour news, but do not go anywhere. We've got lots more questions for you. So when we return, we're gonna keep up our discussion with Carrie Portell. She is a farmer in Missouri, and she's doing it with some limitations. But how's she overcoming that, and what can she do for others? Well, we'll find out with Carrie right after this. Now, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks today for joining us from you, our listeners, as well as our guest today. That is Carrie Portell. And Carrie is joining us from Southeast Missouri, I think you said, Carrie. I know you said Missouri. Was it Southeast?
Yes. East Central.
Wow. Can you tell I've talked to a lot of people today and I have to try to keep up with who's where?
I get it.
So Carrie, we've been discussing, you know, you had a debilitating accident with your family that caused a serious amount of hurdles for you to try to recoup, to come back to farming more actively. My question to you is, though, what do you see that could be done differently, not only in your operation? I mean, how did you start to face that and say, we could do this differently for myself, who's restricted, and things that other farmers can do to help them when they have mobility restrictions?
Yeah, I struggled quite a bit in the beginning because I knew that my body was different, but it, like, my mind didn't think differently. I still wanted to do my chores in the old manner that I used to. And so I actually was introduced to an organization called AgriAbility that they focus specifically on farmers who have some kind of disability. I mean, it doesn't have to be as physical as mine. It could be, you know, you have like CHF or arthritis or things like that. And I got connected with them, and they were just such a blessing to me because immediately they started with body mechanics saying, you know, Carrie, you can't pick up things off the ground like you used to. You need to pick them up off of waist level. And just that simple little trivial thing, I'm like, why could I not think of that? You know, it's just because I didn't have to think like that before. So it was a completely new perspective that I had to learn. And then they gave me ideas of, you know what, there's certain equipment out there that can help you immensely if this is what you want to continue doing. And between those two things, I don't think that I would be at the level that I'm at now, farming-wise, if I didn't have AgriAbility in my recovery.
So with those things, Carrie, that you're doing, one of the things, I think I've heard others talk about AgriAbility and all the work that they can do, and they do a fantastic job for multiple farmers in situations similar to yours. So I know this maybe sounds a little silly. Farm Bureau has recently had their outstanding farm dog. Is your farm dog considered a big part of helping your mobility too, besides what you get from organizations like AgriAbility?
100%. Yes. Yes. It is. It's a daily thing. And right now, I don't know if you guys know, but like our area is just absolutely covered in ice, and we're over 3 weeks of having this. And it is not ideal for someone like me to be out there, you know, feeding livestock. And my husband, every single day when he's at work, texts me and asks me, did everything okay? You know, are you all right? Because it just, he gets so worried about me, but I fought for this. Like we fought with each other whether I was going to do this or not. And he gave in eventually because I said, I need something. I'm going start grading mad. I do exercise before this. Of course, I taught an exercise class, but getting out, I don't know. If you're in agriculture, you just understand what it means to be out in the outdoors, taking care of something, producing the, you know, the best quality product that you can. And I needed something like that where I could have my own accomplishments. And so it's not just a physical therapy. It is a mental and emotional therapy as well for me, because I needed something to help, like, just keep me propelling forward. And that's what farming has done for me.
When you talk with other farmers, what are some of the encouraging things that you have for them or that they've brought to you too?
Oh, I hear so many things, you know, and they're kind of in the same point that I was, where they can't see past what they used to do and how they used to do it. And I always introduce them to AgriAbility, saying, you know, this organization does this for a living. They will help you. I promise they will help you. But one of the more, I guess, mental aspects of it is I remind them that this is just a moment in time, because some of them are really, really down on themselves, saying, you know, if I can't do this, you know, this is all I've ever known. If I'm going to lose this, I basically lose my identity. And you start hearing things like, well, what good am I, you know, to my family if I can't go out there and do that? Well, what am I going to do now? I have no other hobbies or skills, because this is what I've always wanted to do. And I tell them, I'm like, don't give up, because if you search, if you keep talking to the right people, and luckily you found me, I can get you the help that you need. And one thing you have to understand is you're never going to be the same person that you were before. So you're going to have some acceptance in what you can and can't do, and you're going to have to be okay with that. And I know that as a personal struggle, it's difficult to have those acceptance.
And Carrie, we've got an email question from one of our listeners asking, what is the biggest hurdle that you have had to overcome since the accident?
Honestly, it probably is acceptance, because I talk about it a lot. It was hard, because I had zero limitations before this happened. At 35 years old, I was honestly in the best shape of my entire life, and I was just rocking this world. You know, I mean, I was doing great. And when you go from that type of speed and no limitations, and you come to a complete halt, I mean, my world stopped, because there was nothing I could do except heal. And I spent, I think, 5 months in a hospital bed in the middle of my living room. And then it was so minimal, the things that I could do. It was, you know, I can only sit in a wheelchair for a certain amount of time per day, because my legs couldn't hang. You know, everything had to be elevated because I had so much swelling. So it was one, I had to accept that before I can tackle this huge goal of getting to walk again, one, I'm going to have to actually let my body heal. And when I set a goal on that person, that's like, okay, what's the first thing that I need to do? Let's get on with it. And I couldn't get on with it, honestly, for 2 years. I just had to sit there and wait and just have, you know, I think I had maybe like 8 reconstructive surgeries in 2 years. So that was my biggest issue. It wasn't that I got angry about it, but I would get frustrated. I'm like, okay, this isn't working. Let's sit down. I need to have a powwow with myself. How can I continue doing the things that I love in a new and creative way? And I honestly couldn't do it by myself. I needed some help and some guidance on that.
Now, I'm sure a lot of, you know, when you go out and talk to people about your situation, motivation, I mean, what kept you motivated to keep going? I mean, a lot of people would just say, you know, forget this. This is just too much. I'm going to have to find something else. What kept you motivated to keep going and to pressing forward and to get where you're at today?
It was a very specific moment in my recovery. I think I was on month 4, and I was staying by myself at that point, but I was still in a hospital bed, and you have plenty of time to talk to yourself, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of times you talk to yourself in not the best manner, even though you're trying to keep yourself upbeat. And I remember thinking that day, like the entire day went by, and I don't even know where it went. It went by so fast, because I was having these intense conversations with myself, saying, you know, is this the way that it's always going to be? Is it always going to be this, like, this much pain that I'm in? Because it was just atrocious at that point. And I remember before I knew it, it was about 4 o'clock, and I heard the kids, they had gotten off the bus, came down the driveway, and with 4 kids, they just clamored through the kitchen door, and it was, you know, it was loud, it was chaos, and it was, hi, Mom, you know, this is what I did at school today. And within 5 minutes, you hear, you know, sibling rivalry going on in the back room, saying, I'm telling Mom, and I don't like you, and this kind of stuff. And I remember at that exact moment how lucky I was to be able to still be here to hear that. And this thought came to my mind that, Carrie, if you give up, at some point your kids can use that as an excuse to say, well, you gave up, Mom, why can't I?
Wow.
And I remember sitting there with that going, nope, I cannot give them permission or the excuse to use that. I cannot do it. So I've got to keep going.
So, Carrie, with all the things that you've had to do, I mean, you have not just the accident, but you have also had some health concerns that have come up that have also restricted the work that you can do. Have you needed to do a fair amount of equipment alterations, or have you been able to make yourself work with what you have?
We have made some. I believe because I continue doing the farming, which keeps me flexible, but I also do yoga and Pilates. Right now, we have added an extra step to our tractors, you know, so that there's, you don't have just three steps. I actually mm-hmm. have one step that's a little bit lower. And as far as the yep. tractor, that's the only thing that we have changed. But one thing that AgriAbility suggested, because we were backgrounding a bunch of heifers every year, and of course, you know, when you're with them every day, they're just not as tender as you. And feeding them was becoming a real issue because they were right next to me, and I was trying to get out and dump feed. And we had a ranger, and they put a cake feeder on the back. And we were like, that's great and everything, but how are we still going? How am I going to do this and not, you know, put my safety at risk? So we right. went on YouTube and found a switch that you could attach to the door of the cake feeder. And I could just run by the bunk feeders and empty out my grain or my range cubes and that. And I mean, three things. I didn't put myself in harm's way at all because I never even had to leave the ranger. But two, I didn't use any steps and very little energy. So it was like, I remember emailing my AgriAbility rep and I said, you have no idea how you have changed my life with these two things. It was absolutely amazing. The difference I felt energy-wise after that. And there's a few things that we had to do. So I'm an avid horseback rider. I've been riding, I think, since I came out of the birth canal. And it was difficult to ride. I mean, very difficult. So both of my ankles are fused. And when you ride a horse, your toes need to turn in. Well, that was not working for me. It was putting way too much pressure on them. So we have got slanted curved stirrups or something along that line. And then I also found from NRS, I found this contraption that actually lets me Velcro myself into my saddle, which has helped immensely as well. So I think those are probably the main, adaptations that I have made right. so far on the farm. But AgriAbility is always on me saying, you know, Carrie, when you start to deteriorate, when you start to have really good trouble, come back to us. We'll figure it out. We'll make anything work.
That's awesome.
Carrie, you know, just we've only had a short while to visit with you, and there's so many more pieces to your story. Currently, on those on the live stream, again, on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV, you can see Carrie's website and her information, and there's so much more to her story. But the biggest piece of your story is that there's hope. When your life changes, physically demands change for you as a farmer, you can still continue to keep going. And that's probably one of the most important things that people need to hear.
I believe that because if you don't have hope, that's whenever you start to, you know, really go downhill mentally. And then after that, physically, everything starts to deteriorate.
That's huge. Carrie, where can people find you if they would like to learn more or visit with you directly?
You know, I'm pretty much on all social media, just under my name, Carrie Portell. But if you go to my website, carrieportell.com, I've got a newsletter. I've got, you know, all of my socials are on there, and you can just kind of take a look around and see all the things.
That is awesome. Well, thank you for sharing all of that with us. Again, like I said, I feel like we just barely got it started, but you never know. We'll probably have more questions in the future while we bring you back to visit.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carrie. Great story. Great story.
Thank you. And folks, don't go anywhere. We need to come back and take a touch of the weather. Dean, I'm getting flurries down here.
Uh-oh.
We better make sure that road... And I've had a couple of folks send me road reports. It's a little, I won't want to say it's messy south of Fargo, but there certainly is some drifting snow, and we'll want to talk about that when we return.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. We got about a few minutes left here, so we're going to recap the weather real quick here. Most of the snow now has moved south of the area, heading down into areas of northeastern South Dakota, but it's diminishing as well. So if you're going out and about through about 7 o'clock tonight, might want to leave a little extra time because we do have quite a bit of wind out there out of the north, and that's producing quite a bit of blowing snow, especially in open country. But in city-wise, it's not too bad. Looking out the window here on 29, it looks just wet. But again, you get just outside of town, and there is a little more blowing snow on the roadway, so you want to keep that in mind. We're going to continue to see temperatures fall overnight tonight, down to a low near 12 below, and then another cold one tomorrow, 5 to 10 above, but we'll have light winds. Then as we head into Friday, a clipper system, another one, will bring us clouds and some light snow developing, but we'll be in the 20s. And then behind that system on Saturday, that's when we turn windy and colder. We'll pick up probably about another half inch to an inch of additional fluff, if you will, and then that'll be blowing around on Saturday if you have any travel plans Saturday. And then Sunday mellows out with temps in the 20s, and by next Tuesday we are back in the 30s. Now Bridget, taking a look at road conditions for your trip back from Sioux Falls, it looks like you're good to go up until north of Watertown. There's a few scattered slippery spots, but more so once you get north of Sisseton. So I think your trip back should
that's
be
because
relatively
that's,
decent.
That's Summit, South Dakota, Dean, and that is pretty much the Bermuda Triangle for weather.
It
when
is.
You take that change in elevation when you come on down the hill. I've had some road reports. Thank you to Chris and thank you to Mitch for sending those, including video. It's showing fairly blustery conditions, scattered icy spots. So don't recommend the cruise control for folks who are going to be out and doing those things today. Keep in mind also, if we are not only looking at weather, but we want to mark our calendars. As I mentioned, this is a farm trade show season. We're going to be very busy now through most of March. And Giving Hearts Day, not a farm trade show, but it is up and coming. That will be on Thursday, February 13th. And when we are doing Giving Hearts Day, this is new this year. About 50 new charities are joining a list. So it's over 600 charities are participating. A full list of charities can be found on their website. And it's a day that you can not only donate dollars, but you can bring food pantry items that can be shared. And additionally, you can sign up to donate your time. We will be scheduling some interviews that day with some of our very favorite ag charities. Looking forward to having them with us and part of that day. And above all, just remember that is a day where you can reach out and make the most difference and impact in the Red River Valley and the Tri-State region for so many charities, whether they are farm-related or other. Keep that in mind and mark your calendar for yet one more thing. So let the weather warm up for a little bit. That'll be next week, though, you said.
Next week, yeah. Finally. 20s and 30s, I think we can all get on board with that. No doubt.
We'll be okay.
Yeah. So for Bridget and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.